I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, pod people, and welcome back to Classic Ads from Simpler Times. In this week's episode, a Coronation Street regular suffers the same fate as Colonel Dietrich from Raiders of the Lost Ferrero Rocher. There's some discussion on the joys of latex versus wetsuit material in the construction of one's gimp suit. And Tony reveals what's under the loose floorboard in his bedroom before losing control of his bowels and ending a discussion on the role of Jacques Derrida and Noam Chomsky in postmodern advertising before it could even begin. My name's Steve Cook, and my co-host is award-winning advertising creative and TV ad director, Mr. Anthony Williams, Esquire. Together, we're going to circle the giant toilet bowl of life whilst looking at a telly ad for Apple Tango that first aired in the UK in 1994. Strap in, people. Thanks for turning up again, Tones.
Welcome to Never Left.
The year is 1994.
Ooh.
John Major is Prime Minister.
Yep.
The Channel Tunnel opened. And everybody's watching
1994 and a Big Brother,
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, nice. Yes.
The best-selling single of the year is "Love Is All Around" by Wet, Wet, Wet.
Oh, I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Marty Pello, the whitest teeth in the world.
The first ever lesbian kiss on British TV.
Madonna.
Ed.
Oh, no, I know this.
In which soap opera?
It was the Scouts of One Off North, and then I used to watch this. What's it called? Not Brooks. Brookside. Oh!
This is my favourite little nugget. Do you remember Ivy Tilsley in Coronation Street?
Which one was that?
She was like a... She wasn't tall.
Where did she work?
But peroxide blonde hair, a bit aggressive.
Wasn't she the nasty one?
She was a bit of a piece of work.
Yeah.
So Coronation Street battle axe, Ivy Tilsley. She makes her final appearance on the show because the woman who plays her is a woman called Lynn Perry. During a break in filming, went away and had plastic surgery without telling the producers. And then she turned up when they started filming again. She turned up for work looking like a kind of mutant waxwork model of her previous self. She literally looked like the Madame Tussauds version of Ivy Tilsley.
Wow.
Except somebody had kind of held a lighter to her face. Kurt Cobain died.
Oh.
Richard Nixon died.
Right.
And Fanny Craddock died.
Who?
Fanny Craddock.
Who's that?
You don't remember Fanny Craddock? Fanny Craddock, she's a TV chef, and she had a husband called Johnny, and she just used to mercilessly bully him during so she'd be cooking, and she'd go, Johnny, can you bring me some carrots? And he'd bring her some carrots. And he'd go, no, not those carrots, no, the other carrots.
Oh, one of those. Oh, okay.
Anyway, Fanny Craddock. Elsewhere, just on the off chance, the police began digging up the patio
of Fred West.
Fred and Mary West's place.
What's the name? What's the address?
I can't remember.
On the famous street. I can't remember what it was.
Today we're looking at a 40-second TV ad for Apple Tango that first appeared in the UK in 1994. Before we start, I thought we could talk about the massive amount of love kicking around for Tango.
Oh, you've been Tango.
Yeah. Fantastic ad.
So the same guy that did...
Featuring...
I'll have a baby sham.
It featured Ray Wilkins, ex-football star, football commentator Ray Wilkins, Hugh Dennis, the comedian.
Oh, yeah.
And the... You've been tango. You can do it better than I do. You know when you've been tangoed.
You know when you've been tangoed.
Yeah. Was American jazz singer Gil Scott Heron.
Who did the voice?
Did the voice.
American jazz singer?
He's a jazz singer.
Oh.
Who made the ads? Which agency was responsible for the ads?
That was one of those ones with the long, that was Howell Henry Chortle Cutlery Lottery. Something like that.
The amazing thing about that is you're actually right.
Oh.
It was... Howell Henry Chaldecott Lurie.
That's right, yeah.
Who were actually known as HCL and Partners by then.
That must have been one of the longest agency names, surely.
Nah. It was,
really?
It was a thing, wasn't it?
Hmm.
Bagshot, Willing, Smith, your mum, and fucking whoever. Anyway. HCL and Partners responsible for the launch of First Direct, Britain's first internet bank. Today's first fact check. First Direct was in actual fact Britain's first telephone bank, not its first internet bank. This is because the internet, as we know it, didn't actually exist in 1994. Maxell, famous ad.
My ears are alight.
My ears are alight.
Mm.
They also did the Ron Seal work. What was the strapline? Ron Seal. What's the strapline now?
Oh, Ron, is it something like, does what it says on the tin?
Exactly. So the strapline is, it does exactly what it says on the tin, which is still in use today. They launched that in 1994.
Oh, really?
So we keep moaning about advertising not having any longevity. What's that, 94?
I do remember.
That's 25 years old, that strap. HHCL launched Tango with the very big orange bloke slapping the face, featuring Ray Wilkins, Hugh Dennis and Gil Scott-Heron.
Hello, Tony. I think we might use a video replay here.
Super, Ralph. Let's do that.
Oh, yes, we could be in for a quintessential Tango taste sensation here. Why, yes, Tony, let's look again.
Yes, Ralph, the big orange fella running from the left, and he gives him a good old slapping.
It just illustrates the bite and buzz... Oh, a real orange is in Tango.
Yes, Ralph, super taste sensation, smashing drink, lovely.
You know when you've been tangoed.
The ad was banned. What did they do when the ad was banned?
What did they do?
Yeah, what did the agency do after that ad was banned?
Celebrated and went brilliant. It'll win some awards now.
There is that. Yeah.
It was too early to go viral.
They got massive amounts of PR.
Mm. They probably adapted it, I guess.
They did adapt it. What did they
I left the country at that time, so I don't know what they did, but they would have adapted it and probably made an alternative version to please the bureaucrats.
They reshot it shot by shot, and instead of slapping him... The big orange bloke kisses him. The original ad was voted third best TV commercial of all time in a Sunday Times Channel 4 survey in 2000.
Yeah, I can see that. It was good.
Yeah.
It was. Now you say Hugh Dennis, I can think of the voice, like a Geordie voice. Or was that? Yeah, they're both Geordies doing the commentary. A bit like Pete versus Life.
Yeah, so yeah. Hugh Dennis did the Geordie one, and then Ray Wilkins just did himself, which is that deadpan. The big...
That's right.
The big fellas come round the corner.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And who was the little orange man? The Oompa Loompa.
I don't know. Don't know. I missed that. Another fact check. The orange man in the original Tango slap ad was a bloke called Peter Gieves. After the ad, Peter went on to appear in EastEnders, The Bill, Drop the Dead Donkey, Bottom, Lovejoy, Men Behaving Badly, Birds of a Feather, and London's Burning, amongst others. His IMDb credits end in 2007 with a short movie called World of Wrestling, which starred Mackenzie Crook. The IMDb logline for the film says, a group of British wrestlers from wrestling's 70s/80s heyday take the late night bus home in a gloomy northern town. Sounds like a Bobby Dazzler, that one.
And why did it get banned?
Got banned because there was a fair number of children had ended up with burst eardrums after it became the thing that you did in the playground. Slapped each other around the ears. Howell Henry Chaldecott Lurie got Agency of the Decade for that work from Campaign Magazine.
Oh, good on.
That's not bad.
Yeah, third best ad, but Agency of the Decade.
Yeah, at the end of the decade, 4 years later, the agency no longer existed. Mm. There's a link to the ad on YouTube in the pod notes, and we're looking at the possibility of creating a dedicated YouTube channel so you can get notifications and this and that and shit. But we need to look at some copyright issues before that happens. If you normally just listen and don't bother looking at the ad, or you think you remember the ad and just can't be arsed, then in this case, it's probably worth having a quick look, because the ad that we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about is not the ad that we're going to review.
Your medicine's in the cupboard. I'll be back in 6. Keep the place tidy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Get in.
Hi, big boy. I'm going to slip down your throat. You want me, don't you? Say you love me.
I love you.
You want to taste my bubbles.
Okay, what was it, Scrooge?
If you do just type in a generic tango advert 90s into YouTube, you get a lot of results. And this one's a long way down there.
Mm-hmm. Long way down. Sebastian first.
I have two questions for you about this ad.
Mm.
Question number one, I'll give you both the questions so you can think about them. Question number one, is this the weirdest TV ad you've ever seen? And question number two, is this the most British ad you've ever seen? Do you want to take us through the ad? So you just do your ramble through.
So,
tell us what the visuals look like.
All right. So there's a man in bed with the sniffles. He's got the man flu, obviously. And his wife's saying, oh, okay, you know, call me if you need me. He's like, yeah, okay, I'll be fine. And as soon as the door's shut, he jumps out of bed. He goes...
Possible not to laugh.
And as soon as the door shut, he jumps out of bed and he races to his secret stash that you know everyone has somewhere.
He pulls up a floorboard.
And he pulls up a floorboard, which I'll come back to that. Pulls up a floorboard, and the sound is brilliant. All you hear is very uncomfortable. And he pulls out a video because he's trying to shove it in the video recorder. And anyway, then he suddenly, I think, changes his outfit into this latex gimp suit. And you hear the tightness, you can feel the tightness of it because it snaps tight. And he looks at himself in the mirror and goes, oh, when he catches a glimpse of himself. And for some reason, I don't know why, he's wearing tin foil on his feet. I don't know whether that's some sort of politician's orange in the mouth thing. I don't know. So he starts to watch this video. He sits there with his box of tissues because he's got a cold. And it's got this can of tango on the screen and this very seductive voice going, you want me, don't you? He goes, I do. And she says, you love me. He goes, I love you. And he can't control himself. And suddenly the front door opens and he goes, oh, shit. So Colin's been busted. He jumps up, standing there in his gimp suit and like not knowing where to go. And his wife goes, Colin, you said you were sick. And he runs behind the sofa. Look away, don't look at me. Right? And she's actually going, I don't know, she said we did that. And he runs away and then it's, I think it goes to, no, it does, it goes to the end and it says, you can't resist me, and there's a helpline number at the end. So, yeah, that's the ad.
That is a roller coaster of an
it's
ad,
brilliant.
Isn't it?
It's
there's so much in that ad.
So, in answer to the questions, one, is it the weirdest ad I've ever seen? I lived and worked in Japan for 10 years, so it's not the weirdest, but it certainly is very unusual. I think it's one of those ads that polarizes. I haven't got a clue why I like it, but it polarizes people. One, because they don't get it and people don't like to think they don't understand things. And second, because of your second question, is it the most British ad? Yes, because British, stiff upper lip, don't talk about it, what? You know, are probably one of the most deviant nations that never talk about, yeah, those sort of things.
I mean, the ad is based on the premise that weak British men will humiliate themselves in search of Apple Tango-based sexual release.
Exactly, yeah. So, like I said, there you go. It's a bit like the orange in the mouth, but it's not. It's Apple Tango. And it's yeah, so I think it is a very, very British ad. And funny, you know, in my house that I grew up in for 20-odd years, there will be, to this day, a loose floorboard where if you put your... Amanda, you'll find, you know, girlfriend's love letters from high school. I love to think that the owners who are living there now don't even know that. They'll find it one day and they'll have to have someone who interprets the English language in the future. But yeah.
I love the depth in this ad because I had to watch it 12 or 13 times before it became clear to me that he was retrieving his outfit from under the floorboard. And on the packaging, if you freeze frame the packaging, if you go through it frame by frame, the packaging that on the thing that he pulls out from under the floorboard says, come play with me.
And it's spelled how? Spelled how? Tell me, I can guess.
No, it's spelled the normal way.
But see, this is a very British thing, how you look at it on face value, but you have to go through frame by frame to get those little nuggets. And that sort of detail would be made for the British person, like Basic Instinct. When you used to rent the video, you know, and there was that famous scene when she crossed and uncrossed her legs. If you rented it from the video store, you get to that scene and all your mates are sitting around waiting for it. And as you got to it, the videotape would go, because it'd been paused on so many times. It was actually worn out. But yeah, those little details, again, make it very British.
Oh, where to start?
Well, the sound is amazing.
My favourite story, let me give you my favourite story. The art director was a guy called Trevor Robinson.
Dead?
No.
No, okay.
No, he is now Trevor Robinson OBE.
Oh, I thought you said it's now Mrs. OBE.
This is like 25 years later. Wow. He's the principal of a small agency in London somewhere, but he's got an OBE.
Wow.
I'd like to think that he got the OBE for this ad.
Yeah, you think so?
Because it is the most British thing ever.
Yeah.
So his story is that there was a bloke at Howell Henry Chaldecott Lurie who once a month would take a day off to stay at home and masturbate.
Oh.
He'd take the whole day off and stay at home and wank himself senseless. And apparently it was an open secret. He was very open about it. He'd discuss it. They'd all talk about it in the offices and they'd kind of go, you know, next Wednesday. And so,
wow.
Trevor Robinson and his partner had that, you know, this thing about you have an idea, but you put it in the bank until at some stage you can retrieve it for an appropriate brief.
Mm.
And they thought that this was the appropriate time to retrieve the idea that Hal Henry Chaldecott Lurie employee took a day off work every month to go and wank all day and turned it into an ad. And they based it on imagining what would happen if his wife came home.
That's amazing, because that's probably why they won Agency of the Year, because it really does confirm that advertising people are wankers.
Wankers.
Do you know what you get after a week's worth of wanking? A weekend. That's unbelievable. World's the best. Okay.
So I wrote down, while I was watching this for the 15th or 16th time, I wrote down these words: disturbing, surreal, lewd, slapstick, and at the end I wrote a coke-fueled Friday afternoon of an ad.
Oh, sorry,
Al Young was the copywriter. I mean, the thinking is that the launch of Tango, HHCL had launched Tango and done so well with it that effectively Britvic gave them complete carte blanche creatively to do anything they want. It's a Britvic brand. And Britvic basically told them, do what you like.
The
original brief was very, very clear. The brief was, it wasn't even to make the brand famous. The original brief was to make famous advertising. That brief came from the client.
Oh, I hate those briefs.
That came from the client.
Make me an award-winning ad. All right.
Make me famous advertising, not even make the brand famous.
No.
And there were only really two drinks at the time.
One was made from Gerdas.
It's called three drinks then.
What was that?
Iron Brew
made from Gerdas.
Made in Scotland from Gerdas.
That's the one, yeah.
Right. So Iron Brew, Pepsi and Coke.
Yep. And what would it be, the Pepsi line in 1994?
I have no idea.
Taste the Next Generation, Generation Next or something like that, I think.
No idea.
Because that was around the year, a little bit before that, Michael Jackson burned his hair, didn't he? Filming a Pepsi commercial. Yeah, but on the left-hand side of his face or something. And then he appeared on Coronation Street. Sorry, see you earlier.
Okay, creative director. Get your creative director head on. What the fuck is going on in this ad? This is the weirdest ad. It's bizarre. It's disturbing, surreal, lewd. It's slapstick. What's going on?
I haven't got a clue. I really don't know. It's just one of those ads, as you said, you can watch again and again and again, probably because it's like a naughty secret that you think you only get. And it's the sound, again, he looks at himself, you know, snap. I love you. And then it became a, you know, fantastic catchphrase, you know, look away, look away. Colin's just the best name ever to have as just your typical bloke. It's just brilliant. It's talk about, because it's like, I've got a friend who does this, you know,
yes.
Like I've got a friend that takes a day off every month for a wank, a friend. So it's the sort of thing you can talk around the water cooler or the kettle, whatever it is, you know, in England, and not be embarrassed about, but yeah, we all know. I think it was brilliant. And then what I don't understand, Actually, you know, I've got to say, when I showed them the kids the ad, it's great because, you know, you can look at it, it's like a Simpsons episode, you know, you can look at it and it'd be funny, but there are some adult undertones that they may or may not get, and it's still okay. But I've, you know, the point when she says, you want me, don't you, or whatever she says, makes me a little bit uncomfortable because that is pretty close to, you know, chicka-wow-wow, right? And then what I don't get is a number at the end.
Do you know what she actually says?
What does she say?
She says, hi, big boy.
Oh,
I'm going to slip down your throat.
That's right. I think it's the word slip down your throat.
You want me, don't you?
Yeah.
Say you love me.
I love you!
You want to taste my bubbles.
Oh, yes. I think
it's... Do you know who the voiceover was?
Well, I want to say Joanna Lumley, but she doesn't say darling anywhere in there at all, so...
Okay, so the voiceover is done by a lady called Jan Ravens,
mm-hmm.
who is another one of these great character actors that's kicked around, in the UK TV industry. She worked with the Royal Shakespeare Company. But for our purposes, her real claim to fame is that for a long period of time, she was the voice of the Cadbury's Caramel
Bunny. Oh, Bunny!
Yes, same lady.
Take it easy with Cadbury's Caramel. Yeah. Hey, oh.
Who herself was obviously a cleaned up version of Jessica Rabbit from... Yeah. Who framed Roger Rabbit.
With bubbles, it's good to talk.
I thought it was a great little piece of information that this lady had just cornered the market in filth.
RADA. Talk. See, that's what RADA does for you. So you could have gone to any telephone booth in England.
She's classically trained, darling.
Picked a card up out of the box and just said, yeah, good job for you. Right? Much easier. But no, we went to RADA trade, darling. That's brilliant because, yeah, the bunny is, you know.
Hi, big boy.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, I've got goosebumps for all the wrong reasons.
Going to slip down your throat.
You want me, don't you?
I mean, that's very close to the edge. What really freaks me out is the bit where he sits in the armchair and puts the box of tissues on the arm of the chair.
Well, see, the great thing for the board would have been, well, because he's got a cold. Dad, why has he got a box of tissues? Got a cold, of course, boys. But is Colin famous anywhere? Have I seen him somewhere else?
I think he's...
It's like part of that sort of the Rat Pack of British comedy that you see in his ads. And
yeah, so this comes back to... There's a lot of love for the original ads, for the fat orange guy. Mm. There's a lot of stuff kicking around on the internet. There's a lot of love for the blackcurrant ads. Do you remember those?
Yeah, come on, Sebastian.
Which featured Sebastian and the boxing ring and the three Harrier jump jets.
Sebastian. He's a French exchange student.
The White Cliffs of Dover, which were not. They were shot in France.
Of course. And the planes aren't real either.
Yeah, so there's a lot of love for that. There is not a huge amount of internet love for this set of ads. So the lady who plays Colin's wife or girlfriend is a semi-famous Scottish actress who has appeared in a lot of stuff, and I can't find her name.
Mm.
Colin has been around for a long, long time, and I couldn't find his name.
To be honest, I can't even really remember because I was with Colin as soon as the door opened. I looked away, and it's like, you know.
See, and I kind of was with her because another bit that I love from the ad is when she comes back, and as she comes through the front door, what's she muttering?
Oh, I don't know, forgot my keys or...
No, she's saying, forget my head if it wasn't screwed on.
Right.
And it's the thing that your mum used to say all the time. It's like such a normal, average thing to say when you've forgotten something and you have to, I forget my head. And she comes in and Colin's in his gimp suit.
And actually...
It's amazing.
It's an impeccable time as well because he rushes, doesn't he, out of bed the second she's out of the door because he knows his time is limited and he's got to get, you know, yeah. Yeah, very good. I didn't notice that, but those are all the things that, you know, go towards making it great, I guess.
Yeah.
So tell me about the helpline number at the end, because I didn't give it a second thought.
So all three ads featured a helpline number.
Three ads.
There's three ads in the series, in the seduction series, and the voiceover just says, troubles with Apple seduction? There is help.
And what would happen if you called the number?
So the number was 0990-112233. How good a number is that to get on a direct response ad? The only difficulty is the number stays on the screen for about 0.5 of a second.
Of course.
So nobody's anywhere. So you had to work really hard to get hold of that number.
Mm.
Thousands of people did.
And what was it, direct
Literally
line insurance when you called?
Tens of thousands of people did. And what happened was when you called it, you got a series of recorded questions and you were supposed to give a yes, no answer to the question. One of the questions was, do the colours purple and green remind you of your mother?
Yeah, okay. So it didn't matter what you say, really.
There's a long tradition of tango ads having direct response numbers on the end.
That's good.
And then, you know, they had various giveaways, didn't they? But the famous one was the orange megaphone. from the James Corden ad that got banned.
I don't recall that.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Mm.
That's very clever. So I had a great idea. I was going to get one of those stickers on the back of a car that says, how is my driving? Call, you know, 1-800 number, which I bought, and I just drive like a cunt. And so you'd make a fortune.
Entrepreneur you are.
Yeah.
So we've got this ad that is like Vic and Bob wrote it. It was art directed by the Mighty Boosh or somebody like that. Entirely based around British men's ability to humiliate themselves sexually. It's edgy, isn't it?
Did it sell any product? Because normally this is where you give us the results and say...
And this is where we're going back to this thing where I could find zero love for this ad on the internet. I couldn't find any recall. I couldn't find any product information stuff. Loads of stuff about how much people love the original Orange Guy ad. Not a lot about this. But can I ask you, why did you choose this ad? You chose this ad to review. Why did you choose this one instead of the Orange Guy, which is the famous one?
Because the orange one, it was good. It was...
I mean, at the time it ran, it wasn't good. It was amazing.
It was okay.
It was groundbreaking.
It felt a little bit slapstick to be slapstick. And it was,
This ad ran at the same time as Levi's were running the laundrette ad with Nick Heyman.
Who had number one hit.
And apparently the Levi's ad was very much of its time. That's what advertising looked like.
Yeah.
It was the very high production values. Lots of famous talent. Then the song on that one, I can't. What
kind? It's a great line.
What was the song? Yep.
I went and bought a 12-inch single by Sartre.
Yeah.
It was everything. So.
You go from that to the orange fat guy, which was deliberately, I would suggest, you know, I don't know a lot about this, but deliberately shot to look like it was surveillance.
Yeah, because I did catch it in the first one. So it was rewind and then you see it, you know, in slow motion, which is very, that was a very clever way of doing it.
But sorry, I've talked all over the top of you. Why this seduction ad and not the original fat bloke slapping ad?
Well, it wasn't either or. It was, you know, the ads that we pick are classic ads of simpler times and they're great ads and they sell a product and do they work? Do they, you know, are they recall? This was an ad that I just enjoy watching again and again and again and again without taking it apart and trying to rationalise why this and that. It's just entertainment for entertainment's sake. So it was interesting to pick one to talk about, which we didn't necessarily have all the answers for. But just hearing, you know, your thoughts on it and watching it, it's kind of interesting that always say, I'll write an award-winning ad or make an ad that, you know, makes us famous. You always go, well, that's impossible. You just write a really good ad and the payoff is it wins awards or becomes famous. I think they've actually succeeded and they've done an ad, made an ad, which is just, you know, it's not about the product. It's about pure art, entertainment, the ad of the ad. And I think they succeeded. That's why I picked it.
My feeling is that this could have gone either way. I think either the planner has done a really, really good job or Trevor Robinson and Al Young just hit on a moment of genius in that if it was the planner at some stage has sat down and gone, we only have two real competitors for this. One is Coke and one is Pepsi, both of which are brands with a very long and storied history, whereas we've got nothing. And so we've got nothing to lose. What we need to talk about is talk about an experience rather than about the product. It's either that or Al Young and Trevor Robinson were off their tits on Friday afternoon and just went, this will be great.
There's sort of two parts to it. One is that they did the orange guy, you know, the ear slap. How do you do the next ad or improve on an ad that's been banned for being too outrageous? You have to go more outrageous, right? If that's possible. And also, I think, you know, the design, the show, the can, you know, the product on the video, right? On the screen, quite well. So it's not just a pack end shot. So it was when you go into the newsagent and you walk to the fridge.
Even that is a joy in itself, isn't it? Because the can of Apple Tango is lying back on a hutch, on a red hutch pillow.
Exactly.
Talking to him.
Exactly. But you don't see it as a product, it's a can, right? You walk into the newsagent, you walk to the fridge, you see all the cans lined up behind the glass door, and as you look across Coke, Pepsi, you'll see that little Tango logo and that icon, and you'll chuckle to yourself. And I think that's why it wins. And then in that split-second decision, you just grab it.
Yeah.
And it works so well in that.
Talk to me about the craft of it, about how much work they had to put into making that ad. They're good performances, aren't they?
They're brilliant performances. And the set is very good. As I say, his wig that he's wearing at the beginning is sort of just quite obviously a wig that it's comedic. And when we know we're not looking at a cough syrup pad when it starts. You know, you sort of you instantly, again, in a few frames, know that something a little bit off with this. The hiding on the floorboard, brilliant. And I think the suit, they could have gone complete gimp, you know, zips and what have you. Yeah. Would this have to Kill Bill or before? Because that's when gimp suits became, you know, ubiquitous, right? That's the word gimp suit.
Pulp Fiction, not Kill Bill.
Sorry, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
It was sort of, not a lot of people would have realized. It's a bit of I think it's a diver suit or something he's wearing. So I think they could have gone full on weird, you know, with like feathers and all this sort of stuff. But I think it was done so perfectly. So it's the, so maybe, you know, is that it's been introduced. That I think they went so subtly, like his face is in that sort of oval shape and he looks completely ridiculous. Again, I want to know what's going on with the tinfoil shoes.
And his ears are poking out the sides. It doesn't cover his head completely. His ears come out.
Because that wide shot where he jumps up and he's got tinfoils, they would have probably looked at it on the frame and on the monitor and gone, it needs something. Let's just put tinfoil on his feet. That's what it meant from the catering truck. I think it's brilliant. Again, I keep going back to all the sounds. If you listen to this ad, just purely all you hear is, and it's just really uncomfortable, genuinely uncomfortable. So when he snaps his hips, he goes, licking the screen, he licks the monitor. So there's a lot of that sort of, you know, there's fake facade where he's looking down and he grabs his videotape. Yes, it's everything's done very, very well. It's all, you know, that could be any of our living rooms. And we've all got a metaphorical cassette under the floorboards. Have we? Can I just check on that?
Yeah.
If my mother's listening, no, I haven't.
Okay, give it some marks. Give me marks out of five for the brand.
Marks out of five for the brand. Whoa, see, it's a toughie because when I was searching for it, I was searching for Tango. What did I put in? Tango, Kinky, Latex, Colin, Manflu. I never put in Apple. And of course, when I saw it again, I went, of course it was for Apple because that was like the alternative. So branding, I think, for Tango, it's got to be up there with a 4.9. The fact that they have thousands of people ring the number at the end is brilliant. And what they did there, which was very good. Imagine what they could do now with a viral campaign.
You would have to think that it doesn't really matter whether it's orange or apple or blackcurrant. They don't give a shit, do they?
Well, no, the cans are very different though, right? It was a silver can with...
It was just colour though. So the orange, the original one obviously was orange. The blackcurrant one was kind of deep purpley colour.
Yeah.
And this one was green.
Green.
But the cans looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
But just different colours.
Yeah, but they looked exactly the same, but they were different. Same but different. But so they did look... remarkably different. If you're choosing, you know, red, black Pepsi, you know, red Coke, green, orange, you know, it was distinctively different, which I think was which is good. So yeah, it's got to be a 4.9.
Casting.
Oh God, 10 out of 5.
Colin's great.
Colin is brilliant. I love you. casting is excellent.
Even she's good though for what she has to do. I mean,
well, again, I'd sort of if I was asked,
she's
to
his straight man, obviously.
Do an identikit of her. It would be out of the corner of my eye because, you know, I'm also looking away, looking down out of shame, like not wanting to look at her because I'm with Colin behind the sofa. So, yeah, I mean, casting's brilliant. Really
good. Don't look at me. Look away. Oh, okay. Craft. Anything wrong with this ad, looking at it? Is there anything that you would have done differently if you'd been the CD or if you'd been the director?
It's one of my least favourite fonts at the very end. You know, the whole sort of distressed type thing, which kind of spoils it because it brings it into Adland at the end. If I had a criticism of it, you know, that would have been nicer if it was done in a Boom Chicka Wow Wow font or something in keeping with the you know, the ads. It really sort of brings me into Adland when I see that type. That'd be the only thing about Craft. So
I don't think Johnny Puncher will give a shit about that.
Oh, no, but, you know, I'm not Johnny Puncher and you've asked my opinion, not his.
Yeah. Okay.
So there.
That's put me in my place.
So Craft, yeah, 4.7. But an extra 10 for the tinfoil shoes.
Creativity.
Oh, it's going to be 5. It's up there, isn't it?
I'm not sure how that ad could be more creative.
No. Okay, so they did a few versions of it, right? Because I have seen ones that I never even realised existed. When she walks in, and she says, oh, God, I want it. And he goes, okay, this is me. Okay, admit it. I'm there. This is me. I don't mind saying it.
Right, I haven't seen that.
Which I don't know whether that was just a Christmas version for the agency or whatever.
I did see something that suggested that they might have had to remake it without the tissues.
Really?
Yep.
That's been messy. No, I mean, that would have been, you know, I mean, that would have been trying to rewrite the continuity.
But you would think that if they did get some kind of directive from the advertising standards people to remake that without the tissues, that's like they're literally moving the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Well, I think probably the I Want to Slip Down Your Throat, the video which had come to me or whatever it is, I think those would have been the first things to tick off.
I think we might have a new leaderboard. I can't remember. Let's give up the pretense. 19.6 out of 20. You've given that.
No, I want 19.8. I think that's because that's up there. You know, we liked Old Spice, but Old Spice feels contrived, fake, and a little bit
American,
shallow compared to the authenticity of Apple Tango.
Okay, 19.8. Wow.
Well, how many other ads can you watch 20 times? And it's not one of those ads that, oh, every time I watch it, I see a different thing. It's incredible. It's just you could watch it again and again and feel awkward every single time.
Yes, and this is the real joy of this ad. So Howell Henry are widely credited as being the first postmodern advertising agency.
Did they say that about themselves?
No. So weirdly not. Although if you want some backup, this is how...
So sorry, can you just define what a postmodern agency is?
So postmodern, the first agency making postmodern advertising. So we're talking about
massive levels
of irony, massive levels of self-referential information, moving away from traditional, here's the proposition, here's the pack shot, here's the strapline kind of stuff, and moving and making ads that were more, that took insights about their target audience and reference the lives of the target audience and put it in advertising. Mm. So what they're doing here is aiming for I would suspect, a primarily male audience, 18 to 25, who are sitting up on Friday night watching Channel 4.
Mm. The Word.
The Word. They're watching The Word. They're going to football matches. There's a huge
lads,
renaissance.
The lad.
There's lad culture is a thing. Mm. Huge renaissance in football after the 1990 World Cup finals. And HHCL were at the forefront. And it's that idea which I think we have lost somehow. But that the idea pre-ads like this, advertising agencies used to say, drink this. Mm. It's really cool. And it tastes really great. Mm. And somehow along the way, HHCL picked up on the fact that people were starting to go, you know what? Fuck off. I'll be the judge of
whether I'll make my own choice, thank you.
I'll make my own choices. You're not selling me anything now. Mm. I'm buying stuff.
Yeah. It's like write your own proposition.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. That's brilliant. I think it's an era of advertising where it was just throwing caution to the wind and, you know, in the brief, mandatories, fuck it. Yeah. I'm going, so what's the worst that can happen? But as I say, the problem is, what happened after that? You know, you've done one ad which was banned. That's great. Everybody wants that. You do another one to top it. Trouble is, you've got nowhere to go after that because you can't just keep going more and more extreme. Otherwise, you know, the extreme becomes the new norm. And that's a whole different conversation, I guess.
If you're interested in delving a bit deeper into this idea about postmodern advertising, I found an amazing document on the internet. It's the PhD thesis by a bloke called Paul Springer at the University of Middlesex. And he wrote his thesis on Tango advertising. Mm. I'll put a link in the pod notes if anybody wants to.
But is it interesting?
He writes 10,000 words that basically say they wrote some ads that were perfect for the target audience.
Yeah.
If you're out there, Paul,
tell your brother Jerry.
Trevor Robinson worked with a bloke who used to take a day off once a month to go home and wank himself senseless. And that's where they came up with the idea.
Mm.
Let's make an ad that takes the piss out of every British man and the product.
Mind you.
And make it entertaining.
P. Springer, you managed to do it in far fewer words than we did.
Yep. Once again, thank you very much, Tones.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll be back next week.
You want me? I love you!
I'm going to slip down your throat.
Oh,
I'd really like to meet Jan Raven.
Sorry.
Well, if you wanted to see how the sausage is made, I think it's fair to say that you got your wish with that one. It was all a bit more David Attenborough than David Abbott, but that's nature for you, red in tooth and claw. Hit the subscribe button if you'd like to carry on listening to our podcast, featuring two middle-aged men laughing at their own jokes before one of them drops the kids off at the pool. Next week, we'll be looking at an ad that features a yellow sock puppet and not quoting Alfred Lord Tennyson in the outro. So there's always that to look forward to. In the meantime, thanks for listening to Classic Ads from Simpler Times. Laters. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.